The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you along with Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. It is the midweek edition. It is March 28th, 2018. Nice cool morning. I hope it's not the last of what we might see as cool weather for a while. You know, the traditional summer here used to be, May through September. Now it's like Easter to Halloween with the... the new summer. It's AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. You can join in the conversation anytime during the hour at 790-2040. That is our live line number. House Bill 2456, which extends the life of the Tucson's Rio Nuevo for another 10 years, actually from 2025 to 2035, has cleared another Arizona Senate committee. It's on its way for a vote now in the full Senate. That bill, which passed overwhelmingly in the House, will require 16 affirmative votes to pass in the Senate. Let's go up to the state capitol now, and Arizona Democrat from Tucson's District 9, Pamela Powers Hanley, with us on the live line. Pam, how are you?
Good. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. We had Fletcher McCusker, the chair of Rio Nuevo, here on my program Friday, and I asked him about your concerns, which were articulated in that Arizona Daily Star op-ed last week, that you felt there really that the intent of Rio Nuevo would have been more cultural nonprofit projects. And Mr. McCusker said, quite frankly, those just don't pay the freight, and the legislature would not even approve those types of project. Your response to that?
Well, I in my article, I talked about the Tucson Heritage Origins Park, you know, that had been proposed in the initial ballot initiative, and there are many old timers in Tucson who remember those promises, and so. Let's think about that. I mean, if that educational and cultural center had actually been built back, you know, in the early 2000s, natural development would have come around it. You would have seen hotels, restaurants, and other sorts of things being built in Rio Nuevo. So also, you know, I've been to Disneyland, I've been to Cedar Point in Ohio, and these types of venues have gift shops. They have things that you can buy. So I don't agree with that argument at all, actually.
It looks like, though, it is going to pass. Is that your feel or what you're hearing?
It could pass. I know that it was going to be debated today in the Senate, in the Committee of the Whole. Now, we started debating bills in the House at around 10, so they might have already debated it. It could pass. What I would like to see is changes, though. I would like to see the people of Tucson having a voice. When the renewal was written by the legislature back in 2008-2009 by then-Representative Jonathan Payton, it took Rio Nuevo out of the hands of the city council because, you know, I agree with them. There had been some bungling, some mismanagement, perhaps. But it put it in the hands of the legislature. And right now, the people of Tucson have no voice in Rio Nuevo. The meetings are you know, in an obscure, you know, they're down in the state office building. They're on a weekday in the middle of the day. So it's hard for people to get to voice their opinion. The website has a lot of stuff on it, but you really can't look at all those deals and say, how much are we investing? How much is the state investing? How much is the city investing? Who's getting free land? How many jobs are we actually going to get? These are my questions, and I hope that if Rio Nuevo gets reauthorized, that we see greater transparency and a greater voice for the city of Tucson and the people of Tucson in what's built.
The federal judge's ruling on Proposition 123, Pamela, is very troubling to a lot of people. The governor had crafted this proposition as a method to settle a lengthy lawsuit over school funding. Now, with the federal government saying it's unconstitutional, of course, this is going to be appealed. But we're talking a lot of money here that the state could be on the hook for, and this could be a fiscal crisis for Arizona.
Yes, this is a big deal. I mean, I was one of the people who stood against Prop 123, and so I'm glad to see that this ruling was made, that it was not the right way to fund education. And, you know, what we've got sitting there on the books is $13.9 billion in tax cuts. You know, that's where our money is. And, you know, I actually asked one of the staff a few weeks ago, you know, what would take us to get from number 50 in education to number 40 in education? And they said roughly $1 billion. Well, $1.1 billion is what the state government owed the schools, according to that lawsuit. And so the money is there. They just have to have the political will to take down some of those tax cuts, because that's where the money is. The governor's budget is already a shell game of fund transfers, 50 fund transfers from here to there to try to fund things even before this lawsuit decision. And so, yeah, it's gonna be fascinating, because the money is there. They have to have the political will to take it out of those tax cuts.
Today, I believe, is another one of these Red for Ed days with teachers voicing their concerns. Do you think eventually we'll see a teacher strike in Arizona, Pamela?
I don't know. You know, there was a lot of rumblings about this, you know, a few weeks ago when the West Virginia teachers had their strike. And, you know, right now I have not heard anything more about it. So it could be, but I'm not hearing that right now.
What needs still to be done with this legislative session? What are the main issues?
Well, there's a lot to be done. Actually, the last couple of weeks have been sort of light regarding voting. We've been doing the easy votes, and today and tomorrow we're starting the floor at 10. And so I think we're going to be doing a lot of votes, and then, of course, we have the budget battle.
And that could certainly carry this session into late April, wouldn't you imagine?
Well, now, especially with this Prop 123 thing,
right,
you know,
right.
I mean, they were saying April 15 was going to be the end day, but I don't know. There seems to be quite a bit up in the air. There's a lot of votes to be done. There's the whole, you know, budget battle to be done. And so we've got work to do still, that's for sure.
How have the Democrats gotten along, or how have the Republicans, the majority, gotten along with you Democrats this session?
Well, actually, I don't think it's been too bad. You know, we had the big drama at the beginning of the session when Representative Schuder was expelled. And for me, anyway, I think things have been pretty cordial. I try to be friendly to everybody. There's a few of them I have a hard time with, but I mean, I'm cordial, and people are cordial to me. And so, you know, I think it's been fine, but that's, you know, that's one person's perspective.
Were you able to get any legislation personally moving forward?
Well, actually, I was really glad and pleased that four of my ideas were included in the governor's opioid bill. And so that was a big deal for me. I was like, okay, maybe I should just go home now, you know. So there was the Good Samaritan 911 was a bill that I had proposed in the past. I had also was working on a bill that would have had a non-commercial helpline that people could call for information. That was one of the things that was put in there. And then, I was just glad that they were listening on the opioid crisis, because that was something that I had campaigned on since the beginning, because of my background in public health. And so it was very good. We've also been able to stop some bad bills in the banking committee in particular. And then the other thing that I'm proud of is the dental therapy has been moving along. I was instrumental in getting that out of the Sunrise application process last fall. And it didn't make it through the health committee, but I hear it's coming back on a striker. And this would improve access to dental care, affordable dental care for poor people in the urban areas, and for Native Americans and for rural Arizonans. So those are the things that I'm calling wins.
All right. Pamela Powers Hanley, representative from Tucson's District 9, a Democrat. Thank you for giving us a legislative update. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks. I got to go vote.
There you go. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by my favorite bakery in town. Mona's does such a great job. It's a Danish bakery. They have the world-famous Danish Kringle there, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. The owners, Steve and Sherry, very hands-on. Steve doing all the baking, those wonderful breads that are now available for your lunch if you go by. Have one of those lovely sandwiches, and then why not my favorite, a brownie for dessert. They're open right now for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery, Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link right there to all of our partners on this program, including Mona's Danish Bakery. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu, including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, we'll talk with Democratic CD2 hopeful Bruce Wheeler. Also, Bill Doley of Archaeology Southwest. All of that and more during the noon hour on Buckmaster. We air noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030. Have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. That's also the place for all of our podcasts. And we've got the complete archive, really, over the past 7 years. Join us then. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. This portion presented by Green Things, our favorite nursery. Started on 4 acres, they're up to 13 acres. Jan and Jack, the owners, do such a great job over there. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and I got an email from them. They have expanded now those free workshops. Used to be just on weekends. Now there's some during the week. So I think the best thing to do, all you gardening fans, go to greenthingsaz.com, and there's also a nice link there to the Buckmaster Show on the website. Let's welcome now one of our 24 contributors to this program. Just delighted to have Anthony Jimeno as part of our team. He and a couple of his fine sports buddies have created AllSportsTucson.com, which is really doing a great job. Anthony is no stranger to sports. He's been around the sports journalism community for certainly over 20 years in this town. He's senior editor at Lindy's College Football Annuals, and he's probably getting ready to write up the Wildcat football team, because I know those deadlines. Anthony, first of all, how are you, sir?
I'm good, and you are absolutely correct. We are getting into spring football season and all across the country, and where we learn a little bit about the teams and rank them and do all that fun stuff.
What was this stuff about access to spring ball at the U of A for the media?
I guess we found out after the first practice. You know, we had about 15 minutes with Kevin Sumlin, no players or other assistant coaches. And then we find out afterwards that the plan was for that to be it. Nothing else until the spring game, which is, I believe, is April 14th, Saturday. And that kind of came as a surprise to us in the media. And I mean, typically the way Rich Rodriguez would do it would be he's available after every practice, spring and during the season, and then every practice would alternate whether we get offensive players or defensive players, and usually the assistant coaches were, you know, available as requested, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it kind of took us by surprise when Arizona football right now has some momentum. There's some good feeling, and
right.
Kevin Sumlin was the coach everybody wanted, and we're, I think, Tucson's re-interested in the team. And for them to say on the first day, well, you can't watch practice and there's no more interviews until the spring game.
Oh, whoa.
That kind of came as a surprise. So I think Michael Lev, who's the beat writer at the Daily Star, and some of the people at the Star had some conversations with the university about the kind of the best way to proceed. So the amended plan now is that we're getting a different assistant after practice. So, for example, on Monday, we got to talk to the offensive coordinator, Noel Mazzoni, who's a longtime college offensive coordinator, lots of experience, great personality. So at least we're able to talk to and introduce to Tucson a lot of these new names, because
mm-hmm.
Most of the coaching staff is new. So that's kind of all the media wants, is to tell some stories and to let people know what's going on. We may not be able to really talk about, hey, Khalil Tate's doing this differently or this better, or, you know, we might not be able to get into all the position battles that are going on in the spring, but we'll at least be able to introduce some of the new coaches and get a little bit of a feel for what's going on until everybody gets to see it in the spring game. So I think I would guess it'd probably be a nice turnout this year with all the interest.
I would think so, a lot of interest. Let's leave football for a few moments. We've got the Final Four coming up, my Loyola Ramblers.
Yours all of a sudden?
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I was in high school in Chicagoland, and I you know, dating me here in 19... I remember 1963 when the Ramblers won it all. In fact, a couple of the games, four or five players from that championship team that brought home the banner to Chicago were behind the Rambler bench. And, of course, you got Sister Jean, and whose name is now copyrighted. And it goes on and on. I think they've got a shot at this thing, don't you?
No, I don't.
No.
If they, Michigan's just really long and athletic, and I can see them making trouble for the Ramblers' three-pointers. But it's like anything, if they shoot well, they've got a chance. It's the same formula kind of that we talked about before Arizona's first-round game. If Buffalo shoots well, they got a chance to win, and they shot fantastically. And they did a lot of other things, too, but... it seems like, especially in the last 10 or 15 years, most of these kind of Cinderella runs end at the Final Four level. But the great thing is everybody's going to be watching and rooting for them.
Yep. The last team, the last one I remember that had this kind of a run was, I think, Virginia Commonwealth
a few years ago.
And they lost in the first round of the Final Four, I believe, and didn't go on to the championship game. But anyway, hey, Sean Miller's sticking around. There'd been all this, some rumblings that he might go back to Pitt, where he was a standout player. Sean is staying with U of A basketball, so now it's a matter of putting a team together for next year and get two new assistant coaches. How's all that going, do you think, AG?
Well, at least for now, Sean Miller's here. You know,
okay.
Pitt did hire a new head coach, so that avenue's closed.
At Pitt,
So, with Arizona basketball lately, I really do take it one day at a time, to use a cliche, because you never know when you might wake up the news. But for now, Sean is out recruiting, and, you know, I don't know if they need to, you know, he released that statement last week that he was not a candidate at Pitt. That doesn't mean he didn't talk to Pitt at some point, by the way. It just means that, you know, maybe they talked and said, nah, this isn't the right time and place. So I don't know if Sean and the university need to say something more definitive, like, yeah, I'm here coaching the team next year, or if that's just too obvious. I'm not quite sure. But if he's here, I think he's going to put together a pretty decent class. And all this is to be determined, which is what makes this so intriguing, is, you know, he needs to add five or six players. He needs to add two assistant coaches. And he, at this stage, you're not going to get, you're probably not going to get your five-star kids anymore, because most of those are already committed. But I think he can get some fringe top 100 type kids, maybe go to a junior college, get some grad transfers, and you mix those with your core of second-year players, your Brandon Randolphs and guys like that next year, your Ira Lees. It's not going to be a preseason top 10 team or anything like that we've become accustomed to, but I think it could be a really interesting team that Sean would like to coach, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think he can kind of find those non-one-and-done guys who are a little bit hungry, maybe find some transfers who have some chips on their shoulder, and Sean can really kind of coach them up into a kind of a bulldog mentality kind of team, which is what he always did at Xavier. So in a way, he might be playing to his strengths. So there's just a lot to be determined. I hate to predict anything that would happen several months from now in terms of Arizona basketball, but I wouldn't gloat or be in despair either way.
All right, I only got a couple minutes to go. Anthony Jimeno with us from All Sports. Tucson.com. Now let's go back to football. And where will your what is your prediction for the Wildcats for the Pac-12 season in 2018?
That's a little ways off too.
Well, you've got to make that. You've got to make that decision here. You've got Lindy's college football annuals. They want the deadline is probably just weeks away.
About a month. About a month. So I have a lot of coins to flip before then. But I see this as a. I think this is kind of an 8-win team. Maybe a little bit more.
Wow.
What really works in Arizona's favor is. The schedule, to be honest. You know, there's some young talent, obviously Khalil Tate on this team. But in terms of their crossover schedule, they don't play Washington, which is probably going to be the Pac-12 favorite. They don't play Stanford, which is your perennial top 15 team or so. They get USC at home. They get Arizona State at home.
Wow.
I think it sets up nicely to have a successful season. Riding the momentum of a new coach, riding some popularity right now. And, you know, people were moaning about attendance all last year and even before that. This is going to be a great bounce-back season, not only because of the new coaching staff, but because some of those things I mentioned. They have USC at home. They have Arizona State at home. There's an extra home game this year. So I think the attendance stuff will kind of just take care of itself based on the even year schedule. Because every other year, you know, they bounce back and forth between ASU and home and away and USC home and away. So this should be a good year.
All right. We thank you very much for all you do, Anthony Gimeno. And AllSportsTucson.com doing very well, isn't it?
Doing quite well. I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about Sean Elliott.
We need
to talk about Sean Elliott today.
All right.
Well, College Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there you go. That was announced just today, wasn't it?
It was.
All right. Thank you. Anthony Gimeno, thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right. Bottom of the hour here on the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back after we hear from our fine partners on the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. One of my favorite segments of the month, our travel segment with the Buckmaster Show travel industry contributor Ryan Hansen. Ryan is president and chief operating officer for Bon Voyage Travel, which is celebrating now more than 40 years. They really deliver the product, and the product is a fine travel experience, and they deliver this wide range of travel-related services to Southern Arizonans through four offices, and they have a very strong internet presence at bvtravel.com. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, as always.
It's exciting. It's an exciting time of year. I dream of travel all year round, but a lot of people maybe don't take it to the kind of extreme I do. But when spring has sprung, folks really are thinking, what are we going to do this summer?
There's no doubt that this is the season for booking, and that's historically speaking for sure. And that we do have our junkies like yourself who are always, they're not planning their next trip. They're planning trip two and three into the future.
There you go. Usually six trips at a time.
Is half the fun, and that's what we do enjoy at Bon Voyage doing, is we look at it as a consultative approach. It's not walk in the door, tell us what you want, and we book it. We talk through what are your likes and dislikes, and we get down to the, let's start talking about the next trip. Let's start talking about a celebration. Oh, maybe your 30th wedding anniversary is in 2 years. Let's start planning that now. Let's get multiple family members along. So we love that approach of someone that's engaged and wants to be a part of that process. Because for me, like you, that's half the fun, is
it
the anticipation
is.
Of a trip.
I call it mind travel. Even before you get on the airplane, I've done a lot of traveling in my mind. Ryan, this is our first visit since that very successful travel show that was held and sponsored by Bon Voyage. And that's a perfect example of people coming together. They've got kind of an idea of maybe I'll do this kind of cruise. They're not really sure. But one takeaway message, I think, from this year's event, the hottest segment in the industry, European river cruising.
There's no doubt. And I actually hosted a seminar at our showcase, and it was 200 people, standing room only. And my topic was what you need to know about river cruising that the river cruise lines aren't going to tell you. And it's things like, what's the first cruise you should go on? What should you expect? What to be prepared for? And it's different than an ocean cruise. And so if somebody hears, oh, cruise cruising's not for me. Well, the old standard ocean cruise buffet, midnight buffet lines and touching the ports and only being in there in Barcelona for 4 hours, this is a much different experience. You are absolutely right. River cruising is the hottest segment in travel right
and
now.
And one of the benefits of river cruising, first of all, if people have any kind of concerns about really rough weather and rough seas, you're usually not going to get that on the river.
The only word of caution from a weather standpoint could be drought,
right,
or heavy rains, mm-hmm. because as the tides, as the river level, it's not the tides, the level of the river water rises and lowers, you could be in some situations where the water level gets too high and you can't go under a bridge. So there could be some adjustments to your itinerary. You could be bussed a couple of hours from one ship to another. So you have to be prepared for that. But that doesn't happen very often. That is the rarity in the situation. But we want to be transparent with our travelers. And their expectations can be met, but it is not a seasickness issue at all on the river.
So the hottest segment, as we say, is the European River Cruise. Now, within that segment is the Rhine River.
No doubt, which would be, and back to one of my first caveats of what we talked about at the Travel Showcase, was if you've never been on a river cruise, what river should you go on and which itinerary would be the best to get the most best understanding of what it's all about? And the Rhine River going in and out of Amsterdam and Basel and the waterways of the Dutch waterways, the timing if you go at the right time. Right now, the tulips are starting to bloom, mm-hmm. and there is no more beautiful setting that looks like a painting than if you see a windmill in the background with all the different oranges and yellows and purples and reds of tulips blooming in the foreshadow of that windmill. That is picturesque. That's happening right now. Those cruises are embarking. So if you've never been, that would be our recommendation, is to sail on the Rhine, and you have multiple options of the different cruise lines, of what they provide, their inclusiveness, and what type of offshore or onshore excursions they have. But the Rhine would be the number one starting point.
80% of all flowers in the world are exported from the Netherlands, and their prime time is basically April through mid-May, and you are going to see color that you will not believe.
It is a beautiful place. I will actually be on the Danube, which mm-hmm. So you can sail from Amsterdam all the way down to Budapest if you would go from the Rhine to the Main to the Danube. So you can traverse those rivers, which is a very interesting. That would be more for an experienced river cruiser that enjoys going through locks mm-hmm. and understanding the engineering behind the highways of Europe of yesteryear. This was how people moved along Europe, was through the rivers. And so if you've been on the rivers before, that grand European voyage would be of interest to people, because then you see the engineering behind moving from Amsterdam all the way down to Bucharest even. So I'll be on the Danube. I'm excited to get back.
And who will you be traveling with?
I'll be sailing on Viking, mm-hmm. which is a very entry-level opportunity for someone. So if you've never been, that would be a great taste of the river experience. It's not as inclusive as what you might hear at other suppliers that we work with. Uniworld is a more of a boutique river experience. So if you're looking for a boutique hotel experience on the river, if you like a Red Carnation mm-hmm. hotel, mm-hmm. if you go to Europe and stay at
Grand Hotel, Grand Dames hotels in these wonderful cities. Yes.
If you like that experience in Europe, then you would want to be on Uniworld. Mm-hmm. But if you like a more luxury experience, Crystal Ocean Cruises now has river vessels that are on the
so
waters.
So Crystal's gotten into the market too.
They sure have. Because of how hot it is.
Hot it is.
And so if you've heard of Crystal, they've obviously one of the hallmark ocean cruise lines in the industry.
Right.
They've brought that level of service, that level of food, and that level of care to the rivers.
Ryan, how does the price point compare with on the river cruises to your ocean cruises, like what Crystal does and others?
From a per diem, so your per day spend is very comparable to what you would see on the oceans. It's also very comparable to what you would do on a land vacation in Europe, but you take the headaches away of packing and unpacking, moving from hotel to hotel, trains, planes, and automobiles as you move along the European landscape. Your transportation is along the river. You don't have to worry about getting from point A to point B. The price point is very similar. If you tried to structure, let's say, a 10-day European land vacation with four different hotels and all the moving parts. Your food is obviously included on the river, so it is a very competitive pricing strategy on the river to a land vacation, more so even than ocean.
And some of these cabins on the river cruises are really beautiful.
They are. There's a few nuances there. The majority of the cabins are going to be, by and large, a little smaller than what you would see on the ocean, but the concept of river cruising is not sitting in your stateroom.
Right.
The concept is you are steps away from city center, cities that you would, and more so villages even.
Yeah, because you're docking right in town, basically.
Yeah, you go to Budapest, and I'll be docking in Budapest, and you are on the steps of Parliament. That's where the boat docks. So mm-hmm. Do you want to sit in your stateroom and enjoy the spaciousness or lack thereof? No, you want to be taking four steps, and I am right at the steps of the Parliament building that will be lit up at night. You overnight in Budapest, you're not getting there on an ocean cruise.
No.
If you're in a hotel, you probably have an obstructed view to the Parliament building, if a view at all, and you're getting ready to check out the next day and all of the hassles that go with that. So that's why some of the staterooms have verandas. They do have mm-hmm. open, so you can have that free air that most people love, the freshness of the mm-hmm. air and the views. But the river concept is not to be on the boat. It's to be off and be immersing yourself in the little villages and towns.
Give one of the travel consultants, the pros over at Bon Voyage Travel, check it out. Give them a ring. But a good starting place can be bvtravel.com.
Always a great place to go to see, because we have, because of these relationships, we have offers and promotions you won't find going directly to the cruise line or anywhere else.
All right, Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure. Thank
Bill,
you, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. Good starting place, bvtravel.com, and they will take care of all of your needs. Just say you're interested in the European river cruising, and they'll get you going. We'll be right back.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Welcome back. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes just a delightful getaway. Midweek getaway? Do it. Just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City. And why not visit, if you've not been over there, the historic Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, one of the first national monuments in our country. Good starting place. Their really fine website, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you will find the full listing of the many great places to stay and the wonderful recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Once a month, we're delighted to bring in Dr. Robert Hendricks. He is our education contributor on the Buckmaster Show and the Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He also, of course, was the former superintendent at Flowing Wells School District. He had a great run there that included being named Arizona's top school superintendent one year. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well. How about yourself, Bill?
Doing very well, Dr. Hendricks. Everybody's talking about teachers and what the teachers are demanding, and there's even been talk of work shutdowns or strikes. We have, I think today is another one of these Red for Ed days up at the state capitol where teachers come to the capitol wearing a red t-shirt. Just, I'll let you put it. What should teachers in Arizona be demanding?
Well, you know, teachers are frustrated and they're angry. And I talked to a teacher last week. She's a 12-year veteran. And she said, "Would you mind if I showed you my pay stub?" And she showed me the pay stub and compared it to last year's. And she said, "You know, really have about $8 more coming into each bi-weekly or bi-monthly check." And she said, "By the time I pay the increases in benefits and so forth, there's really not much there." And so she, you know, she hears all this rhetoric about the state legislature and the governor wanting to do something and indicating that they have put additional money into the teacher coffers, but she's not seeing it. And what she is seeing and what I'm seeing is that we continue to pass more tax incentives. We're taking more money away from potential the public salary interests. And I'm not really sure what to say to teachers. You're right. They've tried a number of different strategies. But in my opinion, they've been pretty passive up to this point. I mean, the red letter idea, the red shirt, is certainly an important statement to make. Teachers been marching on the Capitol. Mm-hmm. They've also tried through editorials and social media and so forth to arouse more interest, more support in their cause. But You know, it doesn't seem to be moving much in a positive direction. Last week, a small school district in the Phoenix area, Pendergast, did a sick out. Mm-hmm. And basically, on one day, many of the teachers sat out and didn't report to work.
How did that go?
Well, it closed the schools down for the day.
Hmm.
And it's a frustrating thing for teachers and for school districts and for parents and for children. Let's not forget the children who are being deprived of a school day of education because there certainly, and we know this for a fact, there are not enough substitutes and replacements if anything should happen on a wide-scale basis to keep schools running.
Linda Valdez, who writes for the Arizona Republic, our friend Linda, who's been a contributor to this program in the past, wrote today, Dr. Hendricks, that strikes could turn off voters. And Linda said they won't move the politicians and they could alienate the public.
I think she's absolutely right. Strikes tend to polarize, if nothing else. And if particularly if you don't have solidarity, and mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about the situation in the state in regard to teacher employment. But, you know, we are a right-to-work state, which means there is no
mandatory union, no
collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. And so if a teacher should strike, they could be replaced. They could be terminated. Now, the thing that I think the current employment situation has going for it in terms of teachers is if there were a massive walkout, I don't think it's realistic to think that they could be replaced. And what it would end up happening would be that the schools would not be able to convene. Students wouldn't be able to stay enrolled. There would be loss of revenue. There would be a lot of fallout from that kind of situation. And the solidarity, though, I think is a kind of an interesting question because the other part of the right-to-work state is that there is no mandatory requirement that teachers belong to a union or an association. The biggest association in the state is the Arizona Education Association. They don't divulge what their numbers are, but I would wager to guess that while they might represent a slight majority of teacher membership, they certainly don't represent all teachers.
You're saying maybe a little over 50% would just be your guess.
That would be my guess. And I've also read recently that number has decreased
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it's a function of the cost of dues
right.
and salaries and so forth. So you have the issue of those that represent organized labor. Then you have a very large group of people who are not affiliated with that. And then you also have the charter school teachers.
Right.
And so in order for anything to really happen, to suggest that there might be a strike, it would require that all of these groups, the independent groups, the organized groups, come together. Or it's going to fall apart. Now, there's only been one strike in the state, and that was in 1980, and that was in Sierra Vista.
Huh.
And that strike lasted almost a month.
Did it really?
About half the teachers walked out. The other half did not.
Hmm.
And, of course, that was a different employment environment, and the district was able to sort of move along because even though they were limping, they were able to find replacements, but it factionalized that community
mm-hmm.
for a very, very long time. Even when the strike was over, there were a lot of bitter, angry feelings. And we don't know, except from past history, what has happened to teacher strikes in other states.
Well, even West Virginia, the lawmakers still have to identify how to pay for all of the concessions that they say they're going to give to teachers.
Yeah, 5% is basically right. the concession. And where they're going to come up with the money, they really don't know. And remember, West Virginia is a much smaller state, far fewer school districts. We also have an issue with school districts that we don't have a statewide schedule. So we have some school districts that pay with a much heftier salary schedule than others, depending on whether they have overrides that have been funded, depending on their own service circumstances in the district.
Yeah, so not every teacher in Arizona is unhappy with their pay.
Correct. So will those people join, you know? And if, you know, if teachers do strike, what will be that impact on student attendance, and how will parents feel? I mean, if they, at least in the Sierra Vista situation, parents were initially very pleased to support, but then it became an issue of inconvenience, and it became a problem with what are they going to do with their children. And so the tide began to turn in that situation, and I think we've seen that in other examples of strikes across the country. Is it the solution? I hope not. I hope not, because it will certainly, for those politicians who don't support teachers anyway,
right, give them an excuse.
It's going to further polarize them, and I just don't know what it would do to the community. But again, it begs the question, what are teachers to do? Where do they get clout? Where do they get the leverage to make something happen, a positive thing for them and for the field of education?
Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Always a pleasure for hearing your thoughts on what teachers in Arizona should be demanding. Thank you very much. All right, coming up this afternoon, 4 to 6 now, one hour expansion of the 1 hour, previously 1 hour, mic check show with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. That's coming up today. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow for our Thursday edition of The Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Hendricks and, of course, Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.